In the modern music world, it seems like the term rock can be used for just about any music that'd be considered different or unusual, including artists who range from Panic at the Disco. And if you don't know now, you know. I'm taking back the crown. I'm all dressed up and naked. I see what's money taken. To Arctic Monkeys. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. You're out. To Glass Animals. Pineapples are in my head. Got nobody cause I'm brain dead.
Five thousand footsteps in your way trails. Back to the house with your arms round my neck.
Despite the loose definition of the modern form of the genre, rock music, or rock and roll, is actually a genre of pop music that originated and evolved in the southern United States in the late 1940s and early 1950s, with origins in African-American music styles such as gospel, jazz, R&B, and folk. Even though rock as a genre didn't actually emerge until the late 40s, some of the earliest examples of rock and roll actually trace all the way back to the late 1930s. One of the earliest examples of a song with recognizable rock elements is Joe Turner and Pete Johnson's 1938 song, Rollin' Pete.
I've got a gal, lives up on that hill. I've got a gal, lives up on that hill. Well, they won't try to quit me, Lord, but I love her still. She got eyes like diamonds, teeth shine like lime.
During the same time period that this song was released, particularly on the West Coast and in the Midwest, Jump Blues started to gain popularity.
Hello, Cassie just got back. Looking for that place to call the Chicken Shack. It's fine as wine and it's really on the ball. No windows, no doors, it's just a hole in the wall.
As you can hear from Amos Milburn's song Chicken Shack Boogie, Jump Blues is an up-tempo style of blues typically played with saxophone and brass instrumental features. It was during this time period that guitar riffs, shouted lyrics, and distinguished beats were becoming popular in music. It was also around this time that electric guitar was established as the centerpiece of band instrumentation. Famous musician Chuck Berry led the movement towards rock by introducing the signature aggressive guitar sound of rock and roll, along with changing the instrumentation of his band from the traditional blues band setup to what we now recognize as a modern rock band instrumentation, with lead guitar, a secondary chord instrument, bass, and drums. Chuck Berry's song Johnny Be Good is a perfect example of this early version of rock and roll. After the entrance of the classic rock band setup, the rock and roll scene began to shift towards what is now known as rockabilly. The term rockabilly is believed to come from artist Bill Flagg, who referred to his music's mix of hillbilly and rock and roll as rockabilly around 1953.
Rock in the morning, rock at night, the guitar picker is picking right. He plays it cool, he plays it hot, stomp your feet with the guitar off the world rock. Guitar off.
Hey, let's rock.
Guitar off. Rock, rock, rock with the guitar.
Let's rock now, kid.
This style of rock and roll was mainly played and recorded in the mid-1950s by primarily white singers such as Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, and Jerry Lee Lewis, who drew their inspiration from country music. Probably one of the most commonly known examples of this genre is Elvis Presley's song Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time.
Later rockabilly artists such as Buddy Holly would eventually become some of the biggest influences on artists such as the Beatles, who would become later one of the biggest influences on modern music.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day
when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, but you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your...
Along with influencing the United States music scene, rock and roll also had an extreme influence on American culture in the 1950s. Since rock and roll has roots in African-American music styles, the genre drew performers and listeners from all races, which, in a time of extreme racial tension, was something of a movement towards desegregation. Along with helping the movement towards desegregation, many rock historians also believe that rock and roll was the first genre to define an age group since it had such a large impact on teen culture. When it first emerged, rock and roll is said to have given teenagers more of a sense of belonging, even if they were alone. This did eventually lead to growing concern among older generations who worried about juvenile delinquency and social rebellion since rock and roll was shared among so many racial and social groups. In America, this older generation portrayed that concern to the teen generation through comic books. With plots of defiant teen girls falling for rock and roll loving boys who drop the boy for someone who prefers more traditional music, the older generations hoped that they would remove any desire for teens to act erratically or rebel. Along with comic books, rock and roll culture extended to things such as film, clothes, hair, cars and motorcycles, and new slang terms. It was during this time period that dance moves such as the jitterbug, sock hops, and basement parties gained popularity. From the mid-1960s on, rock and roll rebranded as just rock, and the music began to gain more influence from what was going on in society and political movements. Later in this decade, other new styles of the genre began to emerge, such as funk, disco, techno, and hip-hop. As much as I would love to sit and discuss the path that these genres took, it would probably take me a whole nother podcast to get through the next few eras of rock music, which is why this episode is the first of a two-part series about the evolution of rock music. The next episode will be coming out within the next month and will pick up in the 1970s and extend out to the modern era of rock music. For 91.3 WHJE, I'm Kate Fairman, and this has been Sound of the Ages.